Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the text of the narrow door. As you have heard read from our gospel lesson this morning, therefore our theme is about Jesus, your narrow door. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's always been a great controversy. Is man able to save himself or not? Is what man does in this life, does God really care? The great controversy has arisen that in the end, God will acquiesce. He'll take a step back and say, oh, it's okay, I was just kidding. Y'all come in. This is a debate that has led and continues to lead to scandal and heresy. It's a false teaching of the very worst kind. It's a topic that divides faith against human reason, love, true love, against love. No doubt it's a very hard question, a very hard question that Jesus heard this morning. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? As you think about the question, how would you answer? Considering what you see on the news and read in the newspapers, looking at the condition of this fallen world, remember what your Lord Jesus said? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Instead of you and I having to give our opinion concerning the question, Jesus gives us the right answer. He answers by using law and gospel. So therefore, this morning, my dear brothers and sisters, let's take a look at the law. According to the law, Jesus answers, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. This is pure, unadulterated, crushing law. The door to the kingdom of heaven is a very narrow door. And many, many will not fit through the narrow door. Why? Because too many in this world will try to attempt to enter through the door according to their terms, according to their means, according to their work. These are those who think that they are good enough because they have done so much for Jesus. Sounds noble, but it's not. They've done so much for the church. Sounds noble. They've done so much for other people. The world revolves around them. Why, they have proven their faith, and they wear it like a great big medal on their puffed up chest. They wear it so you and I can see and say, he or she, what a great man or woman of faith. They think that because of all of this, they are skinny enough to fit through the narrow door. Notice that it's becoming more and more narrow. Yet, they have forgotten that they are not good. Jesus clearly says that there is no one who is good except my Father in heaven. No one, including this guy, is good. Only the Father in heaven is good. Your Lord God is very crystal clear, dear ones. He is crystal clear. And whether you want to hear it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, this is what he says. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I don't think you could be any more clear than that. The world doesn't like hearing that. But Jesus always speaks the truth. My dear brother and sister, do not be deceived. Unrepentant sin, no matter how acceptable to the world, destroys the soul and condemns it to hell. The opinions of man, even your opinion or my opinion, will never ever widen the door. Rather, it actually makes it even more narrow. The narrow door is far too narrow for the self-righteous Christian with their great big medal. And that includes everyone who places worldly values over and above God's word. You see, the narrow door is far too narrow with those puffed up chests and those great big heads. Again, God's word is crystal clear. That which is acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Thou, O God, will not despise. Yes, as you have been hearing, the door is narrow. And so many will be very, very surprised on the great last day. Those who carelessly thought of themselves as a Christian, but they really have no faith in Jesus whatsoever. After all, their Christian life was about me, myself, and I. They will find that their entrance into the kingdom will be denied. The door will be shut in their face. Those who hold a certificate of membership in a certain congregation, in this congregation, but have forsaken the Lord's means of grace, will likewise find that their certificate of confirmation is but a worthless piece of paper. Once the master of the house arises and shuts the door, there will be those who stand outside and they will knock, "Lord, Lord, open for us." And he will answer and say to you, "I do not know where you come from." And then you will begin to say, "We ate and drank in your presence, and we taught in our streets." But he will say, "I tell you, I don't know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets of the kingdom, and yourselves thrust out." Jesus is teaching you and me this morning that there are many who may think that they deserve to be saved, but they will be told to depart from their Lord and their Creator for all eternity. Dear ones, we should hear these words and react with godly fear, with self-examination, with prayer and our own repentance. Too often, however, our reaction is far less than holy. We falsely think that we know more than God. We know how He feels. We know how He loves. So therefore, pastors hear these sad comments all the time. "Since this has happened to me, apparently, God isn't so loving. Therefore, God must be a liar, and He can't be trusted." Or, even more horrendous, "God is love, I know this. So He would never allow anyone to perish. So therefore, on Judgment Day, He's going to let everyone enter through the narrow door. It doesn't matter what they've done in their life. It just doesn't matter." Wrong. Both of these statements are very, very popular today. And yes, both are very, very wrong. They are false teaching. To this dying world, love equals permissiveness. Moms and dads, how many times have you heard this? If you really love me, mom or dad, you'll let me do what I want. Oh, believe me, I used it. I tried it anyway. It didn't work, thankfully. Love becomes a license to do whatever you want with whomever you want, whenever you want. Listen closely, dearly beloved. That isn't God's definition of love. God's definition of love declares that He always will do what is best for you, even if you don't like it or appreciate it. Moreover, God does what is best for you in accordance with His holy will, even at the greatest cost to Himself. Yes, the greatest cost to Himself. His Son, His only begotten Son, nailed to a cross in your place and in my place and in their place. His love does not force, cajole, or bribe. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The cross destroys any argument that God is not love, that He does not love you. Jesus has died for the sins of the whole world, even for all those who are committing the sins that you've just heard. Even for the sins that you're committing and the sins that I'm committing. His divine love will never force you to be forgiven. His divine love will never force you to be saved. So according to the law, Jesus answers that the door is very narrow. Jesus declares that all who fail to repent, refuse to repent, will not fit through the narrow door. Jesus proclaims that many who think that they are believers will be shocked to be shut out of the kingdom. Today, Jesus warns you and me to watch out for our doctrine and our practices. Ensure that you are speaking the truth in love. Tell the truth to the unrepentant sinner. If they refuse to repent, they will die in their trespasses and sin, and God will forgive you. But as with little Easton, just pat him on the shoulder and say, oh, it's okay, buddy. It's okay. God doesn't mind. He does mind. He does care because He does love, and He doesn't want anyone to be lost. Therefore, they must repent, and in their repentance, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive them of their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. There is the law, and there is the gospel. You see, my dear friends, the kingdom is open to all. Jesus clearly says it Himself. They will come from the east, and they will come from the west, even from the north and from the south. And they will sit down in the kingdom of God. They will sit at Jesus' table, and there they will feast with Him forever and ever. Yes, the door is narrow, but many will come from every corner of the earth. Why? Because God so loved the world that Jesus went to the cross and died for all those people and for you. Therefore, everyone who repents of their sins and believes that Jesus is their Savior will be saved. In other words, the narrow door is wide enough for all who believe in Jesus. People from the north and from the south, from the east and from the west, they will all fit through the door. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has nothing to do with ancestry. But equally, it's also true that just because this person is from Shum or from up there or from anywhere, they aren't disqualified from salvation because of their ethnicity or their ancestry. What matters is that they not attempt to acquire holiness by what they do, What matters is the Lord's holiness, freely given to them, and dear one, freely given to you. Now this leads us back to the question. Back to the question of the day. Can anyone for sure be sure that they're saved? How do you really know? Are you sure that Jesus will allow you to walk through the narrow door? The answer is yes, a resounding yes, by the power of the water and the word. Jesus welcomes you through the narrow door into his kingdom. As you were baptized there at that font, or wherever you may have been baptized, there was Jesus now guiding you through the narrow door. The door is so narrow that maybe unbelieving eyes don't see it, but it's still there. And Jesus is still present, and he will keep his promise. So each morning, dear one, when you arise, you can say, I am a baptized child of God. I know that Jesus has washed away all my sin by the power of the water and the word. I have this blessed assurance that I am his child, and I am assured of life eternal. But not only at the font, here at his table, in with and under the bread and wine, Jesus feeds you his own body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, dear one, here. Right here he does this. He is present to give you holiness and righteousness and the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, you are certain that as you take his body and drink his blood into your body, you know that Jesus is present and that he does forgive. That what he did for you on the cross is certain and it is sure and it will never be taken from you. As he told the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. So in conclusion, remember the question? Lord, will those who are saved be few? Jesus answers with the truth. The door is very narrow, and he is the door. He announces that his grace is sufficient and that the door is wide enough to gather his people from all nations into his kingdom. And you, dear Christian, are among those who are gathered. This you can be confident and certain and sure of, since all your sins, yes, each and every one of your sins, are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.